I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 208 for the weekend starting 23 February 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, real technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, Mobile World Congress preview.
Also this week, Blue Label and Cell C, smartphone sales decline for the first time ever, more thoughts on the wholesale open access network, and the new iPads are coming.
It's 3 days to Mobile World Congress, there's lots to talk about, let's do it.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. We are attempting our first live stream of this podcast through Discord. We have a total of four people in the room at the moment, two of which are us. So, shout out to Martin and someone called Y Bacher. Thanks for joining us. We are going to attempt various platforms of streaming over the coming weeks. I think we'll try Facebook next if we can get that to work. YouTube, we'll see what works.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe Tinder after that. I think that could also be a great platform. Are joking, joking, guys.
Is he looking for a hot date on a Friday
maybe.
Afternoon? All right. Well, lots to talk about, lots of hot stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Before we get into all of that, of course, including Mobile World Congress, let's do our quiz.
The first question in this week's quiz. DStv has cut the price of Showmax for Compact and Compact Plus subscribers to what?
How much is MTN looking to raise through a listing of its Ghanaian subsidiary? And we're looking for the rand amount.
Third question, SpaceX blasted two demonstration satellites into space this week. What are the satellites used for?
And former Dimension Data CEO Brett Dawson has joined the board of which tech company?
And the last question, which chip company builds the Snapdragon processors that power many of today's smartphones?
Nice, easy one to end the quiz this week. We'll get to the answers at the end of the show, as always. But let's dive into the week's news. And of course, we are just a matter of days away now from a very big event that happens every year in Barcelona.
A little one-stall event up in Spain, right?
100,000 people descend on the ancient city of Barcelona. I'm not going this year. I have been many times though, and it's always a great event. A bit chaotic and difficult to try and cover and catch everything. It's impossible these days.
And cell phone covers for days, cell phone accessories for days at that show.
And new smartphones, of course. All the big, not all of them, of course. Apple isn't there, but many of the big smartphone vendors launching new devices at Mobile World Congress. And of course, thanks to all the leaks these days, not much is left to the imagination. We know that this Sunday, for example, Samsung is going to be launching the Galaxy S9, which is the successor to last year's S8, which is a very well-received device. It appears that Samsung is going to be launching a very much an iterative product this time around, whereas the S8 was quite a major leap forward. And who can blame them? I mean, the S8 was such a huge success, so why not build on that and simply just try and refine that product? It looks like it's going to have better cameras. It's got two cameras at the rear. They've moved the fingerprint sensor, which I think will appeal to a lot of people, of course, in the S8. It's right next to the camera. And, of course, it's going to have Qualcomm's new Snapdragon 845 processor, the latest and greatest processor from Samsung. We, of course, here in the South African and in the broader European, African, Middle Eastern market will probably get the Samsung silicon inside that device. The Qualcomm chip will go into markets like the US and elsewhere. The S8 still is a very good device, and I just expect the S9 is just going to be a speedier version of that with some improved camera technology one or two other minor tweaks. Of course, it'll be running Oreo, which is the latest version of Google's Android operating system, as will all of the smartphones being launched
now.
In the coming few days. So I'm looking forward to the S9, but I must say I'm not as excited about it as I was about the launch of the S8 and S8 Plus last year.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see what the next thing is in mobile form factor. Because a lot of these guys, I mean, you know, if you look at just what they look like, nobody's really brought anything interesting to the party. And you also have to ask a question, the guys that do bring a new form factor, you know, are they going to be accepted as, you know, as you would, you know, as somebody's always going to have something to say about a new design, a new product, a new smartphone shape.
Yes.
I think for now we're going to see much of the same.
Much of the same.
Maybe better
sort
specs.
Of designs, you know, OLED screens, I think it's just building on what's there already. More RAM, greater storage. As component prices come down, manufacturing volumes go up, we're just going to see better of the same.
And I'm sure we'll see a few of the guys punting AI capabilities, you know, just giving them AI, virtual reality, augmented reality, and obviously the AI processing capabilities.
Absolutely. That's going to become mainstream on high-end devices this year. So, yeah, there's some talk as well that some vendors might be coming there with the first foldable designs. But I suspect that'll be early days on those. It'll be more proof of concepts and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. All these phones will be running Oreo, of course. Yeah, we're looking forward to which other vendors are making. Sony's got some announcements coming out.
LG.
I think Sony's fallen a bit behind in the smartphone market.
Their designs have
become a bit outdated, and I expect them at the press conference this weekend. I think it's on Sunday. Could be mistaken there, but I think it's on Sunday. I expect Sony's going to announce. The rumor is they're going to announce something called the XZ2 and the XZ2 Compact. And that these will, like other phones in the market, have a much smaller bezel, if not removing the bezel entirely, which Sony's needed to do because their design has fallen a bit behind their primary rivals at the high end.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they've certainly not looked as snazzy as their rivals, like you said.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Sony products, but given what they currently have in the market, I wouldn't buy one.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I guess we've had this conversation before, but I guess it's also the matter of they just haven't kept up with what people want. That I mean, they've produced great phones, but they just, you know, technically they've been rivals to the best that's out there, but they just didn't entice the consumer. And I guess, I mean, you can look at various, maybe marketing is a bit to blame for that, maybe form factor is a bit to blame, maybe the software, but I guess general exposure of Sony devices just isn't what they used to be, or Sony hardware.
The other big announcement we're expecting this Sunday is from HMD Global, which makes Nokia phones. Now, I'm actually precluded from saying anything about this because I'm under a non-disclosure agreement. I know what they're going to be announcing, so maybe I should just hand it over to you, Rechard, because I can't say anything. And let's hear what you'd like to hear from Nokia.
Look, I mean, what we've seen from Nokia so far is their drive to just produce really superb Android-pure devices. So putting the device first with just the most pure form of Android that you can get.
Which is really appealing.
And I'm sure they will follow suit in that. What I would like to see from them now, obviously, is improvement in the form factor. You know, their previous phones are Nokia 8, is the last one I kind of had some hands-on times with, and it was a great device. Like I said to you at the time, it's definitely the kind of device I would upgrade to.
Yeah.
But now looking at it, it feels a little dated in terms of the design. I don't know if it's just me. It just doesn't feel as nice as what I think in the future phones should look like. So I guess from Sony, what I would like to see is from Nokia. Yeah. You know, more better improvement on that screen, maybe something that's a bit bezel-less. I would like to see one of two interesting things that they bring to the party. I don't know what that could potentially be, something that we haven't seen before, maybe, but Nokia, I think now is the time for Nokia to step up the game. They've kind of put out into the market that they've got some interesting things in the pipeline. It's now just a matter of, they've produced some interesting things, and now it's just a matter of bringing new things into the pipeline that could blow our socks off.
So keep an eye on Tech Central over the weekend for all the details on what HMD Global /Nokia is going to be bringing to market, but I cannot say any more than that at this point in time. What else are we expecting? Huawei is not doing anything major.
Not much, no.
They're launching their new P series phones in March after Mobile World Congress, so they'll probably have something there, but I don't think there's going to be anything spectacular from Huawei.
Lenovo, Motorola.
Yeah, Motorola's launching. I think it's the G6. Lenovo, I'm not sure, to be honest. They're quite a small player in the mobile market. HTC.
They're long overdue for something.
U11, the talk that they're launching in the U11 Plus, I think it's called, this week. HTC. Yeah, they don't have as much share of mind as they used to, do they?
No, they used to be, in my opinion, the standard. Like,
they were the greatest. This is what Android smartphone,
the smartphone is all about.
Yeah.
But they somehow just lost the plot completely. I think our business came in the way. You know, making money came in the way of producing really superb phones.
Yeah. What we won't be seeing at Mobile World Congress is anything from Apple, of course. Apple has never participated in this event.
Yeah, no, they're too good for Mobile World Congress. But it's fine. It gives everybody else a bit of, give them a chance to get some of the attention.
Absolutely. The problem is that with all these vendors launching, there tends to be so much noise that a lot of it gets drowned out. So, of course, everyone notices the Galaxy S9, but does does anyone notice that actually Motorola's launched a new phone and Huawei's got these new great new mid-range devices and all this sort of thing? Because you kind of see the headline and you know, thousands of products are getting launched, but are they really getting the attention they deserve? Which is, I suppose, is a risk of launching it at a Mobile World Congress. So, Samsung, of course, last year launched the S8 outside of the Mobile World Congress.
Yes, yes. I was just going to say, I'm surprised we haven't seen anybody doing something this year, just before Mobile World Congress, dropping big news bomb, so to speak.
Yeah.
I guess there must be a benefit for these guys keeping it for this event. I can't see what it could be, but...
Well, they've got... I suppose they've got the world's press there. The world's tech press is there.
Sure. So everybody that can... But then everybody's fighting for those guys' time.
That's
so
true.
Unless you get flown out, then you'll get preference, obviously, in terms of, you know, just you having to attend the company that takes you to Mobile World Congress. But, yeah, I guess...
Flying in all the bloggers and...
the blogger, lifestyle bloggers, yeah.
What else is happening at Mobile World Congress? Of course, it's going to be all the talk of the town is going to be 5G. First 5G networks are going to be launched towards the end of this year, I think. AT&T, I think it was, it said they're launching in 3 US cities before the end of the year. We're not going to see 5G in this country for a while, not until the spectrum mess is sorted out. Some markets are going to start to deploy at a limited scale, I'd imagine, 5G towards the end of this year. So I think that certainly all the big tech vendors and the major global operators are going to be talking 5G at Mobile World Congress. On the conference tracks, I'm sure it's going to be much of the talk. What are the applications for it? Bedding down the technical standards, rollouts, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Mobile World Congress has always been, I guess, a place for the big heads to come together in these things in many ways and kind of, you know, do the last handshake and getting some of these deals on the corporate level done. I mean, we shouldn't forget that Mobile World Congress isn't a consumer expo. It's actually aimed at industry players, and then part of it is media.
Yes. So we'll keep an eye on the space. Of course, a lot of the conference announcements are going to be happening on Sunday, and then the show itself, I think, starts on Monday and runs through pretty much the whole of next week. I'll be covering it from Joburg, which I think is a good place to cover
If you've been there once, like it's CES, you know, you can. I haven't been there, so I do want to go to CES.
It's a much better show than CES. It's a better show.
World Congress is better than CES.
Oh, yeah. For news, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. And you have, I mean, every time I've been, you've had a lot of the big heads there too. So you have access, as a journalist, you have access to a lot of these guys, which you wouldn't normally have, which I guess is another reason why it's such a good show, a big show to get.
And you bump into so many people just walking through those halls and even in the streets of Barcelona, you know, after the show, you're walking down the street. Hey, there's Hotonto, there's Hotonto. What are you doing? Yeah. So from that perspective, it's a very good networking event. But the first time I went to Mobile World Congress, I made the mistake of just going without a plan, and it kills you. You drown.
It's too much. It's way too much.
You have to go in there with an attack plan. This is who I'm going to talk to. These are the areas I'm going to, and why, and all the rest of it. Otherwise you just going to go from pillar to post and not get anything done.
And I think that's a golden rule for any expo that you attend. I mean, you have to go with a plan. These things get so big these days, it's impossible to...
And the size of Mobile World Congress. I was last there, I think it was 2 years ago. The size of this thing is just mind-blowing. You can't actually get through it all.
You can't
literally walk through and see everything that's interesting in all of the halls and all that sort of thing. And so much of the time, you're not even at the exhibition center. You're attending press conferences all over Barcelona and rushing around to meet people.
What I used to do is actually see what's online, what's hot, and then actually go find those things for myself. You know, if there's anything that's of relevance, I would go find, speak to the people.
Mm.
But I mean, you have to kind of use what's current news, see what's out and happening there to go to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously find out from the guys on the ground, what are the highlights, or from the early press launches.
They actually do quite a good daily newspaper.
Very good, yes, the recap.
I forget what it's called, GSM Daily or something.
Yeah.
But you get in the press room and all that sort of thing the next morning, and it's a great recap of what's happened, because they've got a whole team of journalists who are just covering all the...
Everything.
Things you just can't get to.
In fact, you can probably, I don't know if it's online, but the one that gives you, that used to give me the best recap of especially of stuff if I have missed anything, to know that, okay, that's an important news story to try and catch up on.
No, they do put it online. I remember reading it last year. No, it's a very, very useful resource, actually. But I'll probably go next year. You say
without much enthusiasm.
No, indeed.
Just bolt a holiday into the end of that. You'll...
You needed to recover, yeah. Yeah, and hey, what a, Spain's a quite a nice place for a holiday, I must say. I don't think I'd stay in Barcelona, though. I'd probably go down the coast of Valencia or something.
Yeah, no, look, I like Barcelona as a city. It's an interesting place.
I've seen it
laid
backwards.
Out very...
You know, I've seen it backwards. I've been there like 5-6 times, and I've seen everything that Gaudi ever made. And
well, you've been through all the corners, yeah.
I've been through the Gothic Quarter. I've run the city. In fact, I went running last time I was there with Aki Anastasio. We did a beautiful run from our hotel down La Ramblas to the Olympic Village and all the way back up through the Gothic Quarter. It was actually the highlight of the trip last time I was there. We went for a run at 6 in the morning. The sun was just coming up and it was spectacular. I'm kind of glad I'm missing it this year, though. So let's move on. Blue Label and Cell C, these companies are now obviously intertwined with one another.
Yep.
Blue Label last year acquired 45% of Cell C in a 5.5 billion rand deal. Both companies put out financial results this week. Cell C for the full year to the end of December and Blue Label for the 6 months to the end of November 2017. And the Cell C numbers, they reported a 4.1 billion rand net profit. Sure. But that was almost all to do with the recapitalization last year. So they actually reported a what they term a normalized net profit of a negative 26 million. So effectively break even on revenues of about 15.5 billion rand. Very bullish. Jose Dos Santos says the company is on track according to its business plan. This year is going to be even better. Blue Label, very keen on the investment as well, now saying that this is going to be a very strong third operator in South Africa.
Yeah.
But the Blue Label results were really quite spectacular, actually. Even if you strip out the effects of the 3G mobile and Cell C acquisitions, which they did last year, which were worth about, I think, 7.5-8 billion rand in total, massive acquisitions last year. Even if you strip all of that out, they still grew their core headline earnings by 21%. So that's effectively what they grew their business by organically year on year in a market that was very nearly in a recession. So incredible, incredible bottom line growth from Blue Label. Now, if you include the contributions from particularly Cell C, but also small contributions from 3G Mobile as well, their headline earnings were up over 100%. Now, of course, that's due to various things like like a tax benefit, which Cell C has received as a result of it being a loss-making entity for so many years. I'm not sure what the accounting term is. It's like not a write-down, but a tax credit almost that they get.
Okay.
And that amounted, I think, to something like 820, 850 million rand direct flow into Blue Label Telecom. So that had a big impact on their numbers, and it's a once-off. But I think it's the underlying number that you need to look at. The 21% is phenomenal growth in a market that, in an economy that's effectively not going anywhere at all. The Levy brothers, who started Blue Label, I think in 2001, I think they grew up in Delmas on the Far East Rand, and they have, two ordinary Jewish guys growing up in a small Afrikaans town on the East Rand, and they've built an incredible success story. Incredible success story. Their annualized revenues are quite phenomenal. I forget the figure. I think it was something like 26 billion rand for the 6 months.
Wowzers.
Massive numbers.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They did this very complicated Cell C deal, and they bought 3G Mobile, which looks like a very interesting business. Well done to them. I think that company's going places. So, smartphone sales. Gartner put out this very interesting report this week on fourth quarter smartphone sales to end users. And it showed for the first time that Gartner has been looking at this, which is many, many, many years.
Yeah.
I think back to 2004 or something. We've seen that in the fourth quarter on a year-on-year basis, smartphone sales went into decline. The only companies that increased, I think, were Huawei, which was up marginally, and Xiaomi, which was up something like 78%.
Sure.
So Xiaomi is doing something very right. I think the Chinese market, they've expanded into Southeast Asia. Of course, they've launched here in South Africa as well. And they bring quality devices at low cost. Almost like a high end Android. They're bringing to market at mid market prices.
Yes.
And I think that's where they've been very successful.
Definitely demand. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Demand
for especially as cons- better quality.
Especially as consumers are under pressure. They, I mean, people want good quality smartphones, but they don't want to pay Apple, Samsung prices.
Exactly.
And I think that's where Xiaomi has hit the sweet spot.
Exactly. I think another reason for, I mean, if you look at this the slowdown, what I've seen is the hand-me-down of phones. So, you know, phones generally, if you look at an iPhone, I mean, those things generally last quite long if it's not dropped all the time, obviously. But I mean, you get a lot of hand-me-downs of the iPhone. Somebody upgrades the next one, hand-me-down to somebody else in the family. I mean, the same goes for many of the other devices. I just don't know, some of the, obviously, the cheaper Android devices aren't as hardy or hard-wearing, you know, over a period of a year or two. But that must have had a massive impact, you know. Obviously, there's so many smartphones in the market now, you know.
Yeah.
People, you know, you either buy one, upgrade one, you know. I think that's has to have a massive impact on the new phone sales.
For sure. So Apple, Samsung, and who's the other top five one? Slip my mind now.
Samsung, Huawei.
Huawei and Xiaomi. And Xiaomi OPPO. Oppo, no, Oppo is not in the top five. But Apple sales declined and Samsung sales declined. And whoever the fifth one was, I don't have the web page in front of me now, but... whoever the fifth one was also declined. So the only real winner there was Xiaomi, and of course Huawei has a big problem on its hand. Is it? In fact, not just Huawei, but all the Chinese manufacturers, but Huawei in particular, just can't get into the US market. The operators there that have said we're not going to range these. The government, some elements in the government there anyway, are saying we don't trust these phones. You know, they're made in China. They're going to spy on you. Which sounds like a load of nonsense to me.
But it's a rumor that spreads like, it's the kind of thing that sounds almost believable. You know, you can imagine having dinner time conversation in the US where this type of topic comes up.
Yeah.
And you can see why the US market is hurting these brands.
Yes.
It's just, you know, even the consumers would shy away from these in many cases.
Yeah. I mean, in China, people want to buy Apple. I can't afford to buy Apple, but I don't think the Chinese are running around saying that iPhones are spy devices. I don't know. I think the Americans are being paranoid.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you go by that argument, there are many routers that are probably more prone to hacking attacks just because of, you know, either a brand that's not been developed anymore and there's no firmware updates.
Yeah.
That's what they should be worried about.
Yeah. And anyway, isn't the iPhone made in China?
Probably the same factory.
Probably the same factory.
As the others, yeah.
Indeed, Foxconn. They make a lot of phones.
Yeah.
If I was in the market for a Huawei, I would not allow fear of this device spying on me to put me off my purchase, because it's, you know, there's just as much chance some other device is going to do that. And besides, if it's in the software, someone will find it.
Yeah, look, you probably have more chance. I mean, if you look at technology and the internet as a whole, if I can say, you're pretty screwed regardless if you don't keep a basic kind of internet security rules with any device you're using.
Yeah. On that note, we need to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Honey, why can't I download any more series?
Dad, my game just bombed.
Daddy, I was speaking to Kevin and my call just cut out.
With uncapped Vox Fiber to the home, reaching your cap is a thing of the past. You can have all your devices connected all the time. Get unlimited browsing, unlimited calling, and unlimited entertainment. Vox Fiber, now uncapped. T's and C's apply. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Well, welcome back to the podcast. How's it, Rechard?
How's it, Duncan? And our team of loyal listeners.
Yeah, we've got one of them dropped out. Okay. We have three people online, and two of them us. But we will take this live to Facebook and to our millions of loyal fans.
Yeah, once we do this officially, I'm sure we'll have a stronger following in the chat room.
Absolutely. So I pinned some thoughts this week, on the WOAN, the Wholesale Open Access Network, and it got me thinking. A conversation I had with José dos Santos, the CEO of CELC, and conversations I've had with many people in the industry. Now, we've got this standoff in the industry about getting access to spectrum. Should the WOAN get access to the spectrum, et cetera, et cetera? Now, Telkom has thrown its weight behind the WOAN and said all the spectrum should go to the WOAN, which I think is a terrible idea. CELC has said we support the WOAN and give most of the spectrum to the WOAN, which also I'm not convinced about either. But you now have CELC and Telkom, the two smaller mobile players, both in favor of participating in the WOAN and saying they'll back it. MTN and Vodacom, of course, want to build their own infrastructure. And let's face it, apart from a WOAN-type structure, these are probably the only two companies that have the balance sheets to be able to build networks that cover the entire country. So if we're looking to allocate spectrum on the basis of providing national coverage and providing them to companies that can provide, that have the resources to do this and have the infrastructure in place, why not divide the available, certainly let's talk about digital dividend and 2.6 gigahertz, which are optimal for 4G services, 800 megahertz, let's call it, and 2.6. Why not divide those bands up three ways between MTN, Vodacom, and the WOAN? There is more than enough spectrum in those bands to allow these companies to build super fast networks. In fact, you'd probably have a bunch of spectrum left over. You could probably leave spectrum on the table for something that might happen in the future. Some, you know, British Telecom might decide they want to come in and build a mobile network. It's not going to happen, but you never know. So maybe leave aside a chunk of spectrum for someone who wants to come in, or even two players who want to come in. But there's still more than enough spectrum to allocate to these three players, plus leave some on the table.
Yeah.
And divide it up three ways. Telkom and CELC are much smaller players. So together they don't even have the number of customers that that MTN has. Oh, it might come close to MTN, but certainly MTN and Vodacom together have the bulk of the customers on the network.
Yeah.
So they have an argument to make that they need the spectrum because they're servicing so many customers. So why not just divvy it up? Divvy it up three ways. And Telkom and CELC can pool their resources with anyone else who wants to come into the market, be it internet service providers, be it NGOs, be it RAIN, be it whoever wants to come in and participate in the network. And, you know, maybe there's an argument that some, if they grow to a certain size, that some of the spectrum that's left on the table could be allocated to them if they need it. But given that the other two operators, licensed operators, mobile operators in the market, want to throw their chips in with the WOAN, Vodacom and MTN want to build their own networks, let's just do that.
Mm.
And in rural areas where duplication of infrastructure is expensive and you probably want to discourage it to some extent, although I don't believe the government should decide whether it should be, which should happen or not. I think it should be up to the operators to decide if they want to pool resources. But then allow MTN and Vodacom to piggyback off the WOAN's infrastructure, or allow them to work with the WOAN to build infrastructure, 4G and later 5G infrastructure in the rural areas, and then let them contribute to the wholesale open access network.
Yeah.
Now, I know this isn't a complete solution and there's lots of different angles to this, et cetera, et cetera, but I do think that there's possibly the workings of a solution there to the impasse that we've seen between government and the mobile operators.
No, I agree. I mean, you would think that they would, again, be working together for the greater good of this technology that we are, you know, it's for the people.
Yes.
And that's, I always hammer on that point because I think people lose sight of who they're doing this for, the people that are actually paying for these services. So, yeah, let's hope sanity prevails.
Yeah. So that article, that column is on Tech Central. If you haven't read it and you're interested in this stuff, I know it can be a bit arcane, but go and have a read of that if it's of interest. And lastly, on the news this week, I see reports are emerging that Apple is going to be announcing new iPads soon. It looks like they're going to announce an update, a refresh to the entry level iPad. Yep. I wish they'd name these things. It would be so much easier. It's just called iPad now. The expectation is that's not going to be much different. It's just going to maybe have a faster processor in it and maybe a bit more RAM, the usual sort of thing for an incremental upgrade. And then later this year, we are expecting a new high-end iPad Pro that's going to take its design stylings from the iPhone X, the iPhone X.
Interesting.
Very interesting, yeah. Which probably means it's going to have a notch, although I'm not sure a notch will be necessary on a device that size. It depends how much they want to get rid of the bezels on it.
Yeah, I would like to see them doing away with that notch. And I've seen some rumors online where Apple will be doing away with the notch in the next iPhone completely. Because I don't think it was a very clever... No. They could have just made it a little blank strip.
And, exactly.
It's a weird thing. It's like a splinter in your eye. You know?
Whenever I see an iPhone 10 on a table, I think, oh, God, that's got a notch on it. It's weird.
But now on the iPads, I mean, I'm still using an iPad third generation.
Wow.
And it is fantastic.
That's still worth
it. Third or fourth. Anyway, it is still more than sufficient for all my media uses, and that's what I use it for. You know, just as another device that I have around the house. If I don't want to have my computer, I want to enjoy some movies or music or just have a nice big reading screen.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm finding it hard to understand. Like, they bring out all these iPads, but they're not differentiating them. So for me, you know, there's no reason for me to want to upgrade because I can't see the reason for that faster processing speed. Obviously, I'm not the audience for a newer, faster Mac. But as the average Joe who's thinking, I need a big screen tablet. I need an Apple big screen. I want an Apple big screen tablet or tablet. You know, I can get a second one pretty easily, or do I spend this money on a new one, which I guess might be faster, but it's still not a PC. And that's what the iPad has always been sitting in this weird space for me.
Yeah,
never kind of fully understood it. I love the product, but I wouldn't buy one now. It just doesn't make sense now.
Yeah, right. I've got an iPad Air 2 that I bought, oh, I don't know, 3 years ago now.
3 years ago, yeah.
And it's perfect. It runs fast. I see no reason to buy a new iPad anytime soon. The only thing I'm worried about on it is the battery going. Because I think that, you know, the batteries weaken over time. And then, of course, Apple slows your device down.
But even having said that, my battery is still lasting good. Days. I mean, I use it a few hours, maybe an hour or two a night, or maybe an hour, a few hours a week at night. I guess battery would be the only real concern. And then eventually, obviously, legacy, you know, just software updates will render your device just either slower or incapable of getting the latest upgrades. But still, if we're talking about an iPad fourth generation, it's not that old. A few years in terms of that type of computing. I mean, my mom's iPad is even older. I gave her my iPad before that, so that was a second generation.
Oh, wow.
And as a consumer that won't have high-end requirements, she's still rocking that thing. Everything she wants to do, Skype, Facebook, YouTube, Netflix, Showmax, all those things still work beautifully. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who the consumer is. Who's going to be buying up these things? Maybe it's the same as the cell phone. You know, people hand me downs, buy a new one, upgrade to a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, the upgrade cycle on a tablet is certainly much, much longer than it is on a smartphone. I'll probably, unless a better Android one comes along and I haven't seen one yet, I will probably just get another iPad in, I don't know, 5 years from now.
Until the software updates render it a little bit less usable than what you've had before.
A little message pops up on my screen saying, "This is Apple. You have been using your device for too long. Time to go to the iStore."
And then as you try and press that little X button, it jumps around the screen.
Device will self-implode in 3 minutes. You are not contributing enough to Apple's massive profits. So that's the news this week. Let's move on to our regular features. Winner and loser. Our winner this week is the Levy Brothers. For all the reasons we set out a bit earlier in the podcast, Levy Brothers, Mark and Brett, who obviously founded Blue Label Telecoms. And the loser this week is a bit of an odd one, but I thought I'd pick it anyway. But there's a video that's being shared around on social media, Facebook and elsewhere, of two guys. They made this video slamming the Minister of Basic Education, Angie Motshekga, over, I don't know if you've seen it, Richard. Angie Motshekga was in Parliament talking about the importance of the three R's in education.
Oh, yes.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
And these guys made a video slamming her, laughing at her, and saying, ha ha, this is the Minister of Basic Education, and she doesn't know that arithmetic and writing don't start with an R. Reading, writing, and arithmetic are not three R's. But these guys didn't know that this is an old English saying. It's been used in education for probably centuries. Exactly. And so this video, which was being shared, made these two guys look like a bunch of palookas.
And they didn't know that it was actually
palookas. Anyone needs basic education, it's the guys who made this video. So they're our losers this week. what's your pick this week, Griffin?
All right, so I've got it. I'm going to call this half a pick because I haven't actually received the product, but there's a very cool part to this. So I pre-ordered a book by a local writer. You may know her, Sam Beck-Bessinger.
Yes.
She just launched a book now called Like a Grown-Up, which is a financial management application. Insert the beep there.
I'm going to have to cut that.
That's the website. That's what they call the website and the book. So you can't blame me. Blame Sam. I'm not picking the book because I haven't seen it yet. I believe it's fantastic. But what I am picking is she has made available on her website an Excel sheet for managing your money. Obviously, this ties in very closely with the book. Mm-hmm. But as I pre-ordered, I went to go and download the sheet. It's on Google Docs or you can download it as an Excel file. But it's a very complete and beautifully laid out financial management Excel sheet, really. So she's giving you a template to just manage your money better. Obviously, it works in conjunction with the book. But I've already found a lot of use just in this Excel spreadsheet alone. So I'm picking that because as somebody who's terrible with money, I think this is a great way just to get a handle of it. I'm waiting for the book, and as soon as I've digested it, I'll be able to give you some more feedback. But I think the Excel sheet or this Google Doc sheet is fantastic. You just plug in everything. She's really laid it out nicely, explained to you what these tables and columns are. Mm-hmm. And I've already started playing with it a bit. And yeah, it's going to change the way I manage my money in an Excel digital form. So nice. I'm picking it. And well done, Sam. I'm looking forward to checking out that book.
Cool. How's it, Sam, if you're listening to the show? And my pick this week is something called Stars. It's a really cool website. I recommend visiting on desktop, not mobile. Stars.chromeexperiments.com. And it's a 3D rendering of our galaxy.
Wow.
And you can zoom in and out, and I'm not sure what sort of graphics card you need to run it, but it'd probably work on a basic graphics card.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And you can zoom in and out all over our galaxy and zoom into stars and click on them and find out more information about them. It's all rendered in beautiful 3D. I came across the website this week and I was really impressed with it. So if astronomy is your thing, check out stars.chromeexperiments.com.
Definitely going to check it out.
Include a link to both of those in the show notes. And that, Richard, I think is our show, except for our quiz, of course.
Yep.
Let me dive in with the first question. DSTV has cut the price of Showmax for compact and compact... Oof, tongue-tied. DSTV has cut the price of Showmax for compact and compact plus subscribers to what? And the answer is 49 Rand a month from 99 Rand previously.
The second question, how much is MTN looking to raise through its listing of its Ghana subsidiary? And we're looking for the rand amount here. And the answer there is 5.2 billion rand.
And SpaceX blasted two demonstration satellites into space this week. What are the satellites to be used for? And the answer there, they're the first in a planned constellation of satellites that will provide internet access to parts of the planet that do not have service.
Do you think Elon will have to upgrade those to the full version of those demo satellites once he's finished with the trial period?
I don't know. Shoot them down.
Fourth question. Former Dimension Data CEO Brett Dawson has joined the board of which tech company? And the answer there is Ubusha Technology.
We're both tongue-tied today. And our last question, nice easy one. Which chip company builds the Snapdragon processors that power many of today's smartphones? And that, of course, is Qualcomm. And their 845 will be in the new S9 being announced this weekend.
Am I the only one who finds these Qualcomm chipsets very intriguing and borderline sexy at the same time?
Probably. No, they are quite cool.
The stuff that these guys, and Qualcomm was a few years ago, you never heard of this company.
Never heard of them.
What were they doing? Like little chipsets in little micro devices. And now they're essentially powering all mobile devices.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of Broadcom, the company that's trying to buy them?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I used to Broadcom chips on motherboards. Big back in the day when I was overclocking. Yeah. I mean, you'd find the best Broadcom chip for certain things.
They're trying to buy Qualcomm in a deal, I think, currently worth about $103 billion.
That's good. Whoever buys Qualcomm, if they pull it off, it's going to be a very clever acquisition.
Yeah. Watch out, Intel, you're about to be eclipsed.
Yeah, once they get into desktops, then there's going to be problems.
And they are.
Yeah.
They are indeed. Chipzilla take two. And that's our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Thanks to the guys who tuned in. How many are online now? One. tuned into our live stream. First time we've done it. We are probably going to try Facebook next time around.
Yeah.
And YouTube after that.
Or definitely.
Maybe in a different order, but we'll... And possibly at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And let us know which you prefer too. I mean, which platform do you normally tune into live streams on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As always, the show will, of course, be available through our partners, iono.fm and through Tech Central, so you can listen to it at your convenience, in your car, at home, whatever, wherever you'd prefer to listen to your podcasts. But info@techcentral.co.za. Tell us where you'd like to see us stream live. And that's our show for the week, as always. As always, I'm repeating the stuff that I've already said. From Richard and myself, take care. Cheers.
Ciao, ciao.